When it comes to succession planning, learning and development professionals have a key role to play, both in the strategic development of succession plans, as well as the implementation of succession planning activities. In this interview, succession planning expert Wendy Hirsch talks about the key areas of focus for learning and development, including the importance of working in partnership with organisational stakeholders, and also how succession practices should be designed and delivered. Wendy starts by giving us her definition of succession planning.
Yes, definitions are tricky in the area of both succession planning and talent management, I think. I see succession planning as a process by which one or more successors, often more than one, are identified either for key posts or, again, more often, for groups of similar key posts in the organisation. And then the second part of it is the planning of their career moves or development activities so that those successors are made ready for the jobs you're thinking about. The final bit of the definition I add is that those successors may be people ready to do the job quite quickly, which we often call short-term successors, or they may have longer-term potential. And in many businesses, you really need to think about both.
Wendy, I wondered if I could ask you your view on what you think L&D's role in succession planning should be.
I think one of the quite difficult things about succession planning and talent management, indeed, is where they actually sit in HR or L&D. So sometimes succession planning is led, if you like, by L&D because there's a talent or leadership development team that is part of the learning and development or OD function. And there, L&D's role is definitely a very strategic one to design and lead on the whole process. Very often, though, succession planning doesn't sit in L&D. It either sits in a slightly separate leadership function or talent function, or it can even sit in workforce planning or resourcing. If it doesn't sit in L&D, then I think the learning and development people still have a crucial role. And their role is obviously to support the delivery of development that follows on from the action planning part of succession. So it may be that L&D finds itself more in a supporting role to another part of HR with succession planning. In that case, it's nearly always central to the delivery of the development, which follows on from identifying successors. And that development may be individual. It may also be collective, so it could be about running events and courses, but very often it's about individual development too. And the other aspect, which increasingly I find L&D or OD getting involved in, is preparing the people who will do the succession planning. Now, that will be the line managers, especially the senior managers, and indeed the board at the very top. But it may also mean preparing the HR business partners if succession planning will also occur more in the middle of the organisation, because there it will often be the HR business partners who are facilitating the line in actually doing their succession planning, in agreeing their successors, and in framing the development that people need.
Wendy, I wanted to ask you how well you feel the L&D function is fulfilling this role. And you talked about it either being from a kind of strategic perspective or more from a support kind of delivery of succession planning initiatives.
I think sometimes it's very good. It is easiest for L&D where there is a clear talent or leadership team that sits within L&D. And then obviously the function can see the whole piece. I think where L&D might think about strengthening its understanding is more at the resourcing end of the piece, because succession planning has to really understand the business demand as well as the people supply. And it has to have a real grip on basic things like the numbers of vacancies that are likely to come up, and you know, how specialised people need to be. And so I think sometimes L&D dives in too much with very generic leadership training for people and just needs to pause a little more to think about what it is the business is really needing from people. And then I think the other bit that needs to be stronger, not just if it sits in L&D, but wherever it sits, is giving people the career experience they need, as well as the learning. So that is things like job moves, secondments, projects. It is absolutely central to succession planning that it's about giving people experiences, not just training. And I think obviously L&D can jump to training very easily. It can even jump to coaching and mentoring these days. But it's less comfortable sometimes in helping people actually get a secondment to a different part of the business, or even if necessary, work outside the business for a period of time and come back. That's because L&D doesn't sit quite close enough to those sorts of resourcing processes. So it has to work across boundaries often to manage that.
How do you think that HR, L&D and talent management specialists, and indeed other stakeholders, should really be working together to ensure that they have robust succession planning activity?
Oh, that's a really difficult question, isn't it? And one of the things I have found which just helps enormously when you're putting in a new process, even if you're reviewing an existing one, is for whoever is taking the lead within HR to interview one-to-one, preferably, some of the key stakeholders right at the beginning about what they really want from this process, whether it's being called succession or talent, to find out which bits of the organisation they want to focus on. What kind of a process are they thinking about? How elaborate do they want to be, or how simple? I often use the idea of principles very early on. Principles like, how open do you want to be about this? How involved do you want individuals to be? Just some really general stuff. And that gives everyone the feeling that you are mutually developing a process that actually will meet the needs of the business and the people that manage the business. So in a sense, you're making it together. And I think that's much easier than making it alone and then trying to sell it to everybody. I think the other thing is if it doesn't sit in L&D, for whichever HR team are taking the lead, to make sure that their L&D partners are there whenever anything important is happening. Perhaps not at succession meetings themselves, but certainly at any preparatory workshops, that they see the documentation and can comment on it, that the actions coming out of succession plans are shared very early with L&D, that it's aligned with other things going on, particularly in leadership development. As always, it's about relationships, isn't it? It's about working out who the key people are that you need to keep close to. And then, if you like, forming a sense of a virtual team that do this together, even if that team has to straddle some boundaries in the organisation.
Wendy, when it comes to actually developing people for succession, it's fair to say that different activities and practices will be needed for different roles across an organisation. However, I wondered if you could provide a kind of general steer on the sorts of activities that you have found to work and how an organisation can actually go about selecting these different activities. So, for example, if L&D perhaps decided that mentoring was a suitable activity for leadership development, how they should go through that selection process?
Yes, that's a really important question, I think, about our sort of palette of development activities. I use a very simple mental model, which I have found some of my clients also find useful, and that is to think of three sort of clumps of things. To think of where is it that collective more traditional formal kinds of learning activities help. Like, it could be courses, but it could be a seminar, it could be a workshop, but basically where people get together and have a shared need. And those shared needs are most obvious in some of their core leadership and management skills, particularly if you're looking at a group that's likely to have quite major needs there, like a group of junior managers stepping up to middle management, often needs quite a big input on some management stuff they won't have done before, and also quite a lot of business understanding suddenly becomes important at middle management, and you can do that very cost effectively together. My second big clump is about things I think of as personalised learning, things that would be designed, but often you can tailor much more to the individual, like coaching, mentoring, the use of learning sets. So they're often things quite close to the job, or even in the job, but where you can tailor them to individuals. And I think those mechanisms are very good when you do your needs analysis on people and find that there's some kinds of business activity they really need to strengthen. So, for example, if somebody hasn't had much exposure to customers, for example, you may not be able to put them in a customer-facing role, but there's no reason why they couldn't be part of a project team in the organisation that's doing some strategic customer-related work. They could bring their own strengths from their own function, say they were a finance person, but by working alongside customer-facing people, they will get that bit they need. And then the third component, which is probably the most important, but can be the most challenging to deliver, is actually giving people significant different career experiences. That's either of a different job, or it's of a major project or secondment. And so I tend to think, okay, what can we do in groups? What can we do that's more individualized? And where is it that people really need a significant experience that they've not had before?
Wendy, I think it's fair to say that the people responsible for succession planning in an organization really need to have a clear idea of where a particular employee needs to get to in order to fulfill a specific role in the future. And given this, how much autonomy do you think that employees themselves should have when it comes to selecting their own development activities?
One of the trends we've seen is organisations trying to give individuals more autonomy, obviously in managing their own careers, but to some extent also in managing their own development. I think often that's really useful. It does a number of things if you make the individual more accountable. It means they have to have some commitment to the talent or succession venture, and that makes it fairer for the rest of the workforce. I think there is this idea that, you know, people are already very successful are being given even more attention. And if those people themselves have to make some commitments to their own development, I think psychologically that's quite useful. Also, I think you can cater for different learning styles better if individuals have more say. So, for example, some people might really want to use a learning set type approach to get some new skill set or experience. But we know that if people are very introverted, learning sets can be quite hard for them. So a different person might choose perhaps to work with a coach or a mentor, more one-to-one might work better for them, to get the same sort of need met. So I do think that giving individuals some say is quite helpful. I've also seen it done collectively. I worked with a retail group who had a talent program for very bright managers, And they ran a series of workshops for them, and the dates were fixed in the diaries. But actually, that group had to say what it wanted to happen in the workshop. And if they couldn't be bothered, then it didn't happen. And that was a really important message from that business to its talented managers, saying, OK, we're willing to invest in you, but actually, you've got to make the running here. It also made them work together as a group in setting their own curriculum, which was also very beneficial. It made them have a more mature discussion about their learning needs. So when they thought about getting in some fancy speaker, someone would say, yeah, you know, that would be entertaining, but that's not really one of our learning priorities. So it made them grow up a bit too in terms of managing their development.
Now, in your well-known report, Succession Planning Demystified, you say that the practice of succession planning is really a learning process. Do you think that L&D should really have a role in supporting this learning process? And if so, what form should this support really take?
I think it's a learning process in the sense that really organisations don't learn, in my view, but individuals certainly do. And it's a powerful learning process, not just for the people who are identified as successors, which we've talked about quite a lot already, but for the managers doing the succession planning. And I think L&D should be involved there. They should be preparing managers for their role. But also, I think once succession or talent management is up and running, there is a very crucial role in meetings of managers where somebody needs to facilitate those discussions and also often challenge those discussions. And if L&D is in the lead, that will certainly be someone from L&D. That means you're helping managers to learn how to have good conversations about the potential of other people and their development. I think it's also very helpful if somebody helps managers reflect at the end of each activity in succession planning what they learned about the business, but also what they learned about their own ability to operate the process. So when you've done a round of succession planning, somebody from HR or L&D should be saying to managers, okay, so how did that go for you? Should we improve the process? Were there things you should have done in your own preparation, your own identification of successors? If you had conversations with the individuals involved, how did those conversations go? Did you feel comfortable? Were any a disaster? And if so, what do we learn? What can we learn from the best ones? That is, in effect, giving managers a bit of coaching around this area. And I think some way of weaving in a light touch way, that sense that we're all learning here. We're learning about what process works for us, but we're also learning about what we as individuals need to get good at to operate those processes.
Thank you for listening to this interview on succession planning with Wendy Hirsch. You can find out more about Wendy's work through the Institute for Employment Studies at www.employment-studies.co.uk and the National Institute for Career Education and Counselling at www.nicec.org.